I would like to introduce our first speaker. His home group is somewhere in Pittsburgh. He's someone that happens to be a member of my immediate support group. I got a lot of love for this gentleman. I'm grateful that he was here when I got here. Without further ado, I'm going to give you Lyle L.
Grateful for coming out here in Lyle. First and foremost, I want to thank you, God, my understanding, for truly blessing me and getting us safely here from Pittsburgh to this unity retreat this weekend. My home group is Men in Recovery, which we meet every Sunday at the Anawa Club at 4 o'clock. If you're ever in town, come on by. You know, we have a good group. You know, I would throw some plugs in, but I won't throw some plugs in. Like we have a conference coming up. I want to thank the committee for having faith in me about sharing on sponsorship with my experience, strength, and hope. You know, sometimes when you don't think you got something, someone else sees it and they feel it and they want you to give it away. It's like hard to resist because honestly, I was coming here to speak and I knew I was speaking on this, but my sponsor was going to come and support me. And what happens when we got here? They asked him to share somewhere else, and I'm up here, and my sponsor's brother is somewhere else. It's like, okay, it's all good, you know. And what I learned in our college, and I was like, things happen for a reason, you know. And 95% of the time, it's because God wants it to happen that way. I can't do nothing about it, you know. But my topic was on sponsorship, and what I know about sponsorship is the heartbeat of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, they hear the words, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Not only just like that, but sponsorship, service. When it comes to being a sponsor, you know, those things come into mind. And I want you to go back in your mind right now to your kindergarten teacher. I bet you remember his or her name. I bet you do. Now, go to your 12th grade teacher. I bet you remember her or his name. And you're like, wow, what's that got to do with Narcotics Anonymous? It's got a whole lot to do with Narcotics Anonymous. Because they sponsored you. They gave their experience, strength, and hope in education to get you from one grade to the next. From kindergarten to first. Everything you learned in kindergarten was setting you up for first grade. Everything you learned in first grade was setting you up for second grade. Everything that you learned in second grade was setting you up for third grade, and so on and so forth until you graduated. But each one of those people were sponsors for you. Their experience, strength, and hope, and education is what they gave to you. In turn, you're going to use that in life. The same with sponsorship in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, my sponsor is not a taxi. My sponsor is not a bank account. He doesn't lend me money. My sponsor gives me experience, strength, and hope of the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts. You know, and I was going to bring a whole bunch of stuff about sponsorship, but my sponsor said, all you got to do is take your book. Because I was going to bring you IP number 11. I was going to bring you some other things about sponsorship that Narcotics Anonymous suggests. You know, right now I'm not sponsoring anybody. Because I have some people in Pittsburgh who just want me to sponsor them through name. I mean, they come to the meetings, they'll get their slip signed, and they leave. But yeah, when you ask them who their sponsor, oh, Lyle's my sponsor. I haven't heard from them. But I'll call you to see how you're doing. Okay? I don't pressure you on working these steps. What I found out in Narcotics Anonymous and being a sponsor, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. We will sit down and we will start work. Only through that. Only when you surrender and if you're willing to work the steps, these principles they talk about in the steps to start your process. I know I came into Narcotics Anonymous not to stop using, was to start and stay a relationship. And it ended up with 2 years clean that she left me anyways. And when she went out the door, she said, I hope you use. The only thing I could think about was doing was calling my sponsor. Called my sponsor. I was done with the fourth step. We went on to the fifth step. What I found out was that bond that I had with my very first sponsor was the bond that I needed to start me in this process of recovery. You know, my first sponsor was raising five kids, him and his wife. I had two stepgirls. And what I learned from him was how to raise kids. What I learned from him was how to keep showing up. What I learned from him was honesty, open-minded, willingness, acceptance, humility, patience, tolerance, and just about any spiritual principle you can imagine is what I learned from my first sponsor. And he said, it's all good and done if you learn it, but you've got to apply it in order for it to work. So today, I learned those things and hold on to those things. And I wanted to read something out of the book real quick to give you an idea about this book, because I love this book. It says, what is a sponsor? No single philosophy or belief adequately describes or defines what a sponsor is or what a sponsor does. Over the years, sponsorship has become an important and basic tool of the NA program, and it is practiced in many ways. The sponsorship relationship for many members is personal and private. An NA sponsor is an experienced member of Narcotics Anonymous to whom we turn for guidance with our own program of recovery. Many members believe that sponsorship is a vital part of our recovery process. Along with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, sponsorship is considered one of the cornerstones of the program and the NA way of life, NA way of recovery. I take that to a personal level. Because they say, we can't keep what we have, we don't give it away. So you should happen to come to me and ask me about being your sponsor. I want to make sure you want to be my sponsee. I'm going to tell you straight out, this is what we do. In my family, we are in the literature. We are in the literature. Everything that we do comes from the literature. Everything that we know or learn has come from the literature. The basic tech that works how and why, it works how and why. Step guide and the sponsorship. That's where, for me, that's where the recovery is at. It's like if you want to build a house, you got to have a blueprint. Starting from the foundation all the way to the attic. The basic text, it works how and why, and the step working guide and the sponsorship book are the blueprint. Not saying that they give you all the answers, but they can lead you to a solution. Today I stay in the solution to the best of my ability. You know, and a little funny thing, we was on our way coming here, and I don't want to say it's a new addiction, I've had it for a while, just didn't want to be in denial about it. I like peach tea. So every store I go into, I got to get peach tea. And the store that we stopped in, they had a peach tea like that big. You know, and I'm like, you don't have no bigger peach teas? And the lady said, no. So my sponsor brother said, well, what are you? I said, I'm powerless. I said, but I ain't helpless. I said, sponsor, let's stop at the next store. He said, for what? I said, I want to get a bigger peach tea. He said, no. So my sponsor brother's in the back, he's laughing. And I'm serious about the situation because I want more peach tea. This is what I want. I want more peach tea, you know. And I looked down, I'm like, all right, I'm powerless, you know. So I drank it, and I'm like, all right, I'll deal with it. I'll be okay. I'll get through the rest of the day. Then my man Will comes up to the rescue. Hey, I'm going to the store. Now look, peach tea didn't even enter my mind. It was, hey, Will, I need a couple of Gatorades. My sponsor brother said, you didn't get no peach tea? I'm like, I didn't even think about it. I just thought about the Gatorade. You know? But what I know about this process and like being in the sponsorship circle and being with the families, like, we're close-knit. You know? Meaning, we can't always help each other, but we always lead someone to somebody else. You know, and I wanted to read this because this is about my first sponsor. Some people know him, some people don't. For me, my relationship with my sponsor became and still is the first relationship with another human being who opened my heart to possibilities of becoming a member of the human race. That was my very first sponsor. That's what he did for me. Okay, I wasn't close to my dad. I wasn't close to my uncles or my cousins. I was real close to my very first sponsor. Okay, and what I learned from him was how to start growing up. And the first thing he gave me was this responsibility, and I didn't like it. It was greeting people at the door. Okay, and I did okay with it. I mean, you talk about, I still had some dopamine mentalities, like, I would greet the ladies, I would hug them, but I would shake the guys' hands. And my sponsor said, what are you doing? I said, I'm greeting. He said, why are you hugging the women and not the men? And I said, I don't hug men. He said, you hug me. I said, well, you're different. He said, how am I different? And it dawned on me. I just had some hidden agendas just to hug the ladies. I didn't care less about the men. You know? So when he came back to the business meeting again, came back around, I said, okay, now I'm off that one. I can go make the coffee. My sponsor says, no, you're going to greet for another 60 days. I'm like, man. He said, this time you're going to hug everybody. So I started hugging everybody. I introduced myself, they introduced themselves, and I started to belong to something that I didn't know I was going to belong to. Because like I said, I came in here with hidden agendas. I just wanted to save a relationship. I didn't want to stop using. But through this process and hearing people and identifying with other people and how this new way of life was working for them is what I needed. And along this journey, what has happened to me is I've become a better brother, a better uncle, a better son, a decent, decent human being. Like it says, I've been part of a human race now. You couldn't have told me that 14 years ago that I would become a part of the human race. You know, because I didn't want to be part of the human race. I just wanted to save a relationship. That's all that mattered to me. You know, and through that process, some things happened. And I remember getting 18 months in and someone asked me to sponsor him, and I did. And next thing you know, like, I asked my sponsor what I should do, and he said, well, the first thing you can do, you can buy him a basic text if you want to. He said, it's your choice. So I bought him the basic text. 2 weeks later, he was gone. And I told my sponsor, see, I bought him a basic text, and he left. He said, but it wasn't nothing you did. It was by choice. It was his choice. Because I took a lot of things when it comes to sponsorship on my sleeves. Real emotional, real personal about them. Some of the guys that I sponsored went back out and used, and I took it personally, like it was my fault. And my sponsor once again told me, you know what, they got a choice. He said, you even have a choice. You can either sit and wallow in it, or you can go and help another newcomer and see how they're doing today. And the process was, I need to go help another newcomer. You know? So this sponsorship, it's real important to me. You know, and that's why I gave the analogy of kindergarten to the 12th grade, like our teachers were our sponsors, gave us that education, that experience, strength, and hope to get us to where we need to get to. Now, going to college and all that, it doesn't show you how to live life on life's terms, but it gives you some experience on what you can do out there in life. And I believe in our college knowledge, like our experience, strength, and hope on life on life's terms, we share with each other because our diversity is our strength. So if I go to a couple people and, like, I don't know how to lay a carpet, but if I find a couple people in Narcotics Anonymous who can lay a carpet, I'm going to ask them how to do it. I want to learn how to do that. So I depend on their diversity and our strength to get to where I need to get to. You know? And I believe this, and it's everybody's opinion, like, I believe the men should be with the men, but the women should be with the women, but you know what? It doesn't always turn out like that. You know, and I've been in a sponsee family where it's not always like that. But in order to stay clean, we got to do what we got to do. You know, my sponsors always tell me to work at first step. So I work at first step on a daily basis. I can't change you, I can change me. I can change my thought process on how I feel and how I see things today to get a better perspective on life. You know, so this sponsorship is real important to me. And like I said, right now I don't have anybody. But I know since I've came into Narcotics Anonymous, I've been in service. I've been in service from day one. You know, I didn't know at 90 days in my home group, you know, I was going to be the treasurer and they would trust me with the money. And the first thing I said to my sponsors, don't they know who I am? You know, you guys are giving me hundreds of dollars and you're trusting me. He said, well, this is what you have to do. When you're the treasurer, you got to come and open the doors. You got to put the coffee on. You got to make sure we have cups, make sure we have sugar, and we have to make sure we have cream. And then you have to make sure you got a receipt. And what he told me was, if you come in with no receipt, we'll make sure you don't be the treasurer. And what he was doing was testing my responsibility. How responsible am I going to be to that group? And every time they asked me for a receipt, I had it. The exact change back. It taught me responsibility for me. My accountability. You know, so today, I try to be accountable for everything that I do in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I'm grateful that, like, this area chose me. And this is one of the areas I grew up in. The very first area I grew up in. You know, I was telling some of the players, I said, it's good to see them. You know, when I first, the first Unity Retreat I came to, I was running around here with a CD player, Walkman, CD player, headphones on, listening to Garth Brooks. And everybody's like, he is too happy. He's too happy. I was higher than a kite on life. At 2 years, you know, I was just walking around this place like crazy. Then I got a little bit more involved, and I did concessions for this Unity. And I tell you what, three of us did that year, but other people pitched in, and I didn't think it was going to get done. And I remember my car looking like this when I got here, because I had everything in my trunk and my back seat, the food, everything, and I was coming from Altoona to here like this. And I kept saying, no one's going to show up, no one's going to show up to help us. God put everybody in line to help. All I had to do was get out of the way. You know, and it worked out. Once again, I was responsible for something. You know? So today I got to participate in my own recovery. Be responsible for it. You know, and I do that on a daily basis. I'm responsible in some other areas right now. You know, part of the region. I'm on Start to Live 29. Chair of ticket and registrations, which is a lot of money. Which is right now not even a headache. But in my mind, I'm going to make it a headache. Okay? But what I learned from last year and the year before last, everything comes together when it needs to come together. Just be patient. One of them spiritual principles that I don't like to always use, patience. You know? But I got some people in my corner that back me up on a daily basis with that. You know, who help me out, who ask me if I'm okay. How are things going? You know, and if it wasn't for them people, I tell you what, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in right now. Because I wasn't going to take it. Even though I was vice chair last year, I kept saying I didn't want to be chair this year. I show up at a convention committee meeting and boom, you know, they asked me and called my sponsor and I prayed about it and I said, yeah, I would do it. And for me, it's not about having a niche in my belt, but it's about serving Narcotics Anonymous. You know, about being selfless. You know, it would have been real easy to be selfish and sit at home and do nothing. But like what I've known from the sponsors I've had in the past, service is what it is. Service is showing up and helping somebody. You know, so I try to do that for myself, and I try to do it for Narcotics Anonymous to show up and do service to the best of my ability. You know, so if you're new in this process, or even if you're not new in this process, and it's only a suggestion, try service. Even if you have a one-on-one with your sponsor or you have a one-on-one with a newcomer, that's service. But just know two addicts having a meeting is like, cool. You talk about the heartbeat, the cornerstone, Narcotics Anonymous, the sponsor and the sponsee. I think the therapy to die of one addict helping another is the cornerstone. Because how else do we get experience, strength, and hope from each other? If we're not talking to each other. I haven't had to go to therapy in 14 years. It's been right here in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's not for everybody. You know, I just know I'm an addict trying to get a day clean today. I had a lot of fun today. You know, I met some new people today. I seen some people I haven't seen in a while. And it's great. God willing, you know, and get home safely tonight and start the process over tomorrow if God allows it to start tomorrow. But I know I'm just here to serve to the best of my ability. I'm an addict, ladies and gentlemen. Lane Lyle, thank you. You didn't stop me. I kept on going. You need this.
Two last night, too, though. Without further, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, and it happens to be a gentleman that's close to my heart. We talk on the phone all the time. He's a member of my extended support group, and it's a real honor to hear him share, because I remember when he came into this process. And one thing I can say about him is when he came into this process, one thing that he already had in tow was humility. And that humility has grown leaps and bounds. And without further ado, I give you Will S. from the We Surrender Group in the Niasna area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Will. And I'd like to take a moment so I can invite a loving God in to help me out to deliver a true message of NA and none of my ego. So, first of all, I'd like to thank Lyle for speaking, and also for giving me hope, because even though I'm from the Niasna area, and I get to see Lyle like once or twice a year now, he was in Altoona speaking at a speaker jam when I first met him, and I had like 6 months clean, and I was in a halfway house in the Altoona area, and They tell you to get these sponsors and when you're in these halfway houses. And at the time, all the people who I thought was potential sponsors in the Altoona area happened to work at the facility that I was staying in. But in order to grow in their program, you have to get a sponsor. So he said that he has sponsees by name. I happened to be a sponsee by name at that point in time in my life, although I was working a program of recovery. Because the man that introduced me was my sponsor, because the program was teaching me to look for something that I wanted. Look for somebody who had something that I wanted and grasp to that. And what I saw, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is, it's funny, last year, me and the gentleman had the same conversation, is I believe that God put every sponsor that I've ever had in my life at that point in time in my life, because that's what I needed. And, because I was coming back, and he talked about the humility, and the humility was given to me by a relapse. You know, and in recovery and relapse, it talks about a relapse being a jarring experience that brings about a more rigorous application of the program. And, I didn't know whether... I knew for some reason AA, you know, and it talks about in our literature that we can't identify. So I knew, but I knew that, like, recovery was where I was going to find a new way to live. But I had predecessors in the area that I come from that I associated with NA. You see, any way to identify myself out. And what they had, I didn't want. I just didn't want. So NA wasn't for me. So I thought. So I went to this halfway house, and this gentleman, thank you for putting him in my life, because, and this is just my story, I needed to know that my shoes could match my hat, could match my shirt, and that I could recover, because that was something that was embedded in me, because the old timers at AA told me I had to change all that, or I wasn't going to recover. And this gentleman told me, change what's inside. Change the integrity of your life, and all that stuff will fall in place. I mean, I need to tell you, I still live like that. Like, everything still matches. But I don't have the means. So, although it looks like I just bought it yesterday, I haven't spent any money on any clothes or shoes or hats in over a year. But he taught me that I can recover. Although he wasn't my sponsor as to everybody else, he was my sponsor at that time. I had a sponsor by name that I used him to get out of the halfway house, but make no bones about it. I was doing what I had to do. And every time I was going through something, every time I needed to cry, every time I had a question, I went to not just him, but there was another man there that told me, you're going to be human. You're going to make mistakes. And you don't have to live this lie. Tell the truth. Tell people where you're at. So I used them as my first sponsor. Although, I know now that my mom was my first sponsor. And I didn't listen to a damn word she said. So, through this process, I've come to understand that there's no perfect role model for the recovering addict. But at that point in time in my life, I went and got a sponsor by name, and we went out, and he had a pregnant girlfriend at home, and he was hitting on every girl that walked by, and I know how to do that. But y'all told me that I could find a new way to live, and that's what I wanted. He didn't last 24 hours. That was just some integrity I was trying to put in my life. Not that I was expecting a person to be a perfect role model. But I just didn't want that. I knew how to do that. That had been my life before I got here. I was a womanizer, a woman abuser. And I just didn't want to live like that no more. So he didn't last very long. And eventually, I went home. And I went home, and I got this gentleman. Our literature talks about treat it like an interview process. And I knew this man had some things that that I didn't share with him. There was things that we didn't have alike. So I thought, and I found out that, the man's just as controlling as I am. All the character defects that I possess, he seemed to possess himself. The only thing is, we dress different. because there's no perfect role model for a recovering addict, I held on to him for dear life. And I sat around, on the fourth step for 6 months with it done, begging to go over it. And our literature talks about that sponsorship isn't necessarily locked in place. I come to find out that I've outgrown him. He wasn't what I needed in my life anymore. So I had to make a change. And then I said earlier that I believe that God puts everybody in place for a reason. And the gentleman, that the only other gentleman in my area that really had the type of requirements, see, because I was on house arrest, so I wasn't able to get up out of that area. So the only other gentleman that I could really, really think that they was doing anything with their life happened to be gay, which is a big step for me. Because when I got here, that was unacceptable to me. But I believe, because if you've done a fourth step, there's sexual things in your fourth step that you have to take responsibility for. If you're like me, there's sexual things in your fourth step that was not your fault, that you needed somebody to, you know, to point that out to you. And I needed this man. And for some reason, I was okay sharing these sexual things with this man because I knew with his past and him, his sexual orientation, he wasn't going to judge me. And I need to tell you, that's the only step that sponsor went over with me. I have a sponsor now, and and our literature talks about, you know, why do I need a sponsor? Because sometimes, you know what I mean, like, I think I know something. And, and I need a sponsor, first of all, to be held accountable. But second of all, my self-deception can be so thick at times. My self-righteousness can be so thick at sometimes that I need another point of view. Our literature talks about we are each other's eyes and ears. You know, and I need somebody to tell me sometimes, come on, do you want to come back down here with the rest of us? I don't know who you think you are. Maybe not in that tone. But that's what he does, and I understand that that's what he does in his way. Like Lyle, I have a lot of sponsees by name. In the area that I'm from, there's not very many predecessors. So I have a caseload. I have about 10 sponsees by name. And I'm going to share some experiences with you on sponsorship. I can keep quoting literature, but I think Lyle pretty much knocked it, and I don't want to piggyback him. So this gentleman, he asked me to sponsor him, and since he's not here, I need to tell you, I don't even like him. I don't like him. The character of the man he is, I just don't agree with. Although RIP says that you can say no, I was told never say no to NA. That my gratitude for NA. So the only thing I could do was speak to him honest because he said, I got a feeling you don't like me. So we got to talking, and I said it would be an honor to sponsor you. If my sponsor thinks that it's okay, it would be an honor. Maybe God puts you in my life for a reason. And I don't know what the answers are, but somewhere I kind of think that God wanted me to understand what the unity of this program is. I think that God wanted me to know that, I don't have to like you to help you in your process or to try to the best of my ability. The only thing I did, because he actually knew by the way that I it ain't that I shun him. I love you from a distance type of attitude that I have with him. I just told him, maybe through this process, I can help you to become a better person if God allows me. And I left it at that, and he said, okay. I need to tell you that I brought a sponsee with me, and I love you. I love you for teaching me so much, for helping me in my process, because when this person came into my life, man, me and my significant other, we wasn't doing so well. We were fighting a lot, and it just seems like I couldn't get through to her, and I started to realize that maybe it's not her. And I started to realize this because he would talk to me about his wife. And this program's a program of action and effort. And I realized that, somebody told me that it's a wordless program. And I realized this, but, the integrity of my life is, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing on a daily basis? Am I living what I'm talking? So I'm somebody who sponsors in the way that if I don't do it, I'm not going to ask you to do it. If it wasn't something that I did, I'm not going to be some hypocrite and tell you to go do this, and it wasn't the road that I traveled. I'm not going to ask you to go to 90 and 90 if I didn't get out there and do it. I'm not going to tell you to call me every day for 30 days for the first 30 days and go to a meeting for the first 90 if that's not what I did. So by telling him, his wife has a process of recovery just like you do because of the things you did, I had to apply that to my life. As a result, relationship's going pretty good. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is in place. Doesn't matter that he has 64 days. He's helping me. He's helping me just as well as the sponsor that I have in my life right now. He actually serves with Lyle on the committee, and I believe in service, and Lyle brought up service. I believe in service so much that other sponsor that I had to let go of that I love dearly. I mean, I still to this day, I love dearly. I just ain't living this program. I needed this sponsor because this sponsor with 16 plus years, one day at a time, is still serving. Letting me know that what has worked in the beginning is still working today. I need that type of guidance. I don't ever want to stop giving back what was freely given to me. I don't ever want to stop putting forth service. And the sponsor that I have in my life right now is showing me that. That no matter what time I get, you know, and I told him, I got to talking to him, and I'm the PNA chair of my area. And I got to talking with him, like, man, like, I think I'm going to take a break after this year. And he laughed and he said, yeah, that's what I said 15 years ago. And I've been in service ever since. And I have other sponsees too, and like I'm a firm believer that like anybody can teach me anything. So when I start to think like he ain't contacting me, why ain't he contacting me? And Law was talking about that. I'll call you at first. But then I'll let you be where you're at. But when I get to thinking, like, why ain't he calling me? I get to making sure that I'm calling my sponsor. And I'm one of these guys that, like, no matter what I do, I tell my sponsor everything. Everything. For one, I want to be held accountable for my actions. And for two, I've been a liar so long. I've been somebody hiding so long. Somebody so scared of who I really am for so long that sometimes I need to understand that my sponsor's there. Because I'm one of these dudes, really? I'll go in a meeting. And, I'll let loose. I'll let loose. I'll even tell the group where I'm at. And, one thing I've learned through this process, though, is I'll never go in a meeting and dump without tying recovery to it. Never. I'll never tell you what my disease is doing to me without telling you what I'm going to do back. Never. Our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. I have enough humility to understand it on any given day that can be me. But I also understand that with this new way of life that NA and God has given me, I have a responsibility to let you know we do recover. To let you know, yes, life is kicking me in my ass, but this is what I'm going to do about it. And the way that I learned that is through the 12 Steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and my sponsor is the one who taught me that. I'd like to thank this area for allowing me to come back again. I'd like to thank the God of my understanding and whoever else who saw something in me that I might give somebody some hope. If not, I know without a shadow of a doubt, get with somebody afterwards. There is hope in this room. And if nothing else, I'll stay clean one more day. God bless each one of you. I'm an addict named Will.